from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
Well, in this episode, Nigel, I would like you... And sorry, I've got a bit of a frog in my throat. I would like you to share some of your insights around the next webinar in your series about organisational learning. And that webinar is on adopting healthy habits, failing and asking for help. Now, you've written an article about it already. I thought it was really interesting because you posed a question in it, which you say is really powerful. So I'd like you to talk about this idea of healthy habits. But could I just start by asking you a question about the question you ask people, which is what's stopping you from doing good work, which learning professionals, for example, might not go to that kind of question because it's not obviously a learning imbued question necessarily. So, you know, why would you ask that question? And what's that got to do with healthy habits?
Excellent. 2 points to kick off with. I'll just set the context that before I answer those two questions, that the model that I built, the Dimensions of Organizational Learning model, which is all about developing the organizational brain by connecting people, building learning spaces, measuring and testing where you go and how much knowledge you have and what's working and what isn't, and connecting ideas, is linked to the outside world by internal culture and deliberately going for ideas and finding out what's new and what's hot. But so this webinar is really about that internal culture. And the belief is that if you go on and on about building organizational learning by building organizational learning, then, or by explicitly building organizational learning, and you forget about the culture and the conditions of learning, you're possibly, probably, more likely than not, wasting your time. So this webinar is focusing on the kind of climate and culture for organizational learning. And the reason why I asked that question, what stops you doing good work or what stops you doing your best work, is that it allows learning people in an organization to see the bigger picture. So I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, but in the hundreds, perhaps thousands of people I've asked that question to, not one of them has said, I need another course. I didn't get through that compliance as often as I really would love to. No one ever says that. They talk about all sorts of blockers that are often not to do with big things, but little things. Access to resources, ability to connect with other people, permission to go outside the boundaries of the role, ability to connect with people outside the organization freely. All of these things basically stop you doing your good work. And if you take away some of those blockers, and often some are really small and can easily be done, you kind of transform people's lives. If you transform people's lives, then you can really get some solid, interesting performance out of those individuals. And within that, there's a whole agenda then about learning. So learning is always about doing better, being more productive, not knocking off a course's portfolio. One company that I was talking to saying that everyone is free to use any course they want on our LMS. We've got thousands of them, but they have to complete the compulsory programs first. How many compulsory programs are there? I said, 75. I said, 75. I said, how many people actually get through the 75 to get into this cornucopia? Not many. We've got a few problems there. And, you know, you can see a whole world of pain just in that teeny, teeny description. So, therefore, there are a number of things that I think are incredibly important around blockers for organizational learning. One of them is about how much permission do you have to make mistakes and sometimes to fail. Not fail spectacularly big, but fail on a small scale and learn from failure and be confident enough in your role and position to share your failures so other people can learn. That's the first thing. And the second is, how do you ask for help in your organization? And what we find is that most people never fail. They do, of course, but they just hide it. Most people deflect failure onto someone more junior to them who can be blamed, even if it means they lose their job and you don't. And most people not only would never ask for help, because that's a sign of weakness, sign you're not as good as you thought you were, or not as good as the company thought you were, but also, on the other hand, will not offer help, because that's just kind of propping up weakness. Why should I offer young Martin Cousins any help? Because he's struggling. Let him just struggle and I'll carry on and be successful. And in some ways, Martin Cousins struggling is great for me because it makes me look better. So you get this toxic culture. And once you've got that kind of culture, to come in on the top of that and say, we need a learning culture in this organization. We need organizational learning. It's never, ever going to happen. So you have to surface these things. And I suppose to start with, you have to take out the fear in organizations, the fear of failure, the fear of looking an idiot, the fear of making a mistake. And you've got to put in its place curiosity to explore, to learn, and to share with colleagues. So it's, I guess, at the heart of it, we're saying you should be very happy to coach your colleagues when they ask for it. And you should be very happy to ask for coaching, and that you should be always trying things that are new, that are even continuously improving. You try new things, recognizing that not even Einstein would have got everything right if he was working in your organization. He would have made a few mistakes and he would have been proud of it and he would have put it on the intranet. I, Albert Einstein, have completely misunderstood this. I've screwed up on that. Einstein rode back on some of his biggest ideas. And he did it because he was innately curious and wanted to explore. And therefore, he failed and he got it wrong. But overall, that reinforced some of his fabulous and fantastic big ideas that changed the course of history and changed the way we think about the world. So, you know, I just think that the more we mask and cover up, the more we pretend to be what we're not, the further the organization goes from being a learning organization.
And do you think this is a project then that's beyond the scope of learning? Because
yes.
So for all of our listeners who are in learning teams, what's the next step then? If it's too big for them, but they're asking the question, that they're getting feedback on much more significant topics around cultural issues and workplace dynamics. What do they then do to be able to start shifting that so that they can then move to this more kind of organizational learning approach?
Fieldwork. Once they get out there and they start investigating, not what's superficially an issue, but what is underlying that superficial issue, they get into a bigger world and they see the contribution that learning can make, but they see it in context. And sometimes they have to take away the barriers to allow learning to flow. It's like, you know, if there's a pipe of learning in your organization, sometimes it's clogged up with unmentionable stuff. And when you can flush that away, the learning flows. So it's to make them aware of the way that learning operates in the organization. And the more you see it as isolated, disconnected, a thing in itself, the less you will understand how to improve the organization. That's my big gripe with Jack Phillips and the ROI Institute, because Jack believes the ROI for learning, you need to disconnect learning from everything else to get at the true ROI. I think you need to connect learning with everything else to get the true impact of learning in an organization and its link with culture and structure and organization.
Yeah.
And the sooner people in learning understand that, the more that the bigger their contribution, the happier they will be, and the power they will have in working in groups and networks rather than isolation. Learning, inward looking learning, looking to itself, is doomed, I think. Absolutely doomed. No one's interested. But learning connected with the whole organizational change agenda, with the business, with business objectives, where learning plays its part, it's invaluable, absolutely invaluable. Yeah. And no one would deny that. So it's a refocusing. So I think that, you know, the book and the webinar and this topic is part of that, tuning people into what's really going on under the surface.
Great. Excellent.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. And we look forward to going under the surface of the topic a bit more on the webinar on the 23rd of April. So it's good to be able to talk about it on the podcast, though. So really interesting kind of ideas. And my takeaway from that is it seems like an opportunity to really elevate learning within the organisation and be far more aligned with, you know, everyone, with the employee population, the senior stakeholders. Harder work, but far more rewarding, ultimately, for everyone.
In. Yes, and you have just quoted a book by my friend Nick Van Damme, which is called Elevating Learning. So there's...
Well.
There we go.
Maybe I'll get a free one sent to me in the post. All right, then. Okay, well, let's leave it there. Look forward to the webinar and look forward to chatting next time. Thanks, Nigel.
Indeed. It's a pleasure, Martin. Good to talk. From scratch.